Well, greetings, everyone. Good to see people here from the West Coast and the East Coast. Got a little one that wants to sing some more. She'll have her chance. Well, it's good to be here. And being that we're going to have Passover this evening, what I thought I might do is get into a little bit of a discussion about Judas. We received a letter from someone here a while ago, and they questioned whether Judas actually partook of the Passover. So I'd like to go through this a little bit. If you want to turn with me to the book of Matthew, we'll start there. And we know that this is the time when Yahshua was preparing himself for the Passover. But he started out even before then, like in the 9th chapter of Matthew, if you want to turn there, to verse 15. What we're going to see here is a building up crescendo of the time when Yahshua would himself be put to death. Beginning there with Matthew chapter 9 and verse 15, it says, "And Yahshua said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, then shall they fast in those days." So Yahshua makes an allusion, a reference to the fact that he would be separated from his disciples. And then the next time that he mentions or alludes to this is in the 17th chapter and verse 22. And there we read, "And while they abode in Galilee, Yahshua said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men." Matthew 17:22. So now he explains that he's going to be betrayed. Then we move on to the 26th chapter of Matthew. And in verse 2 it says, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be impaled." Matthew 26:2. Now he tells how he's going to die. First of all, he's going to be betrayed. Now he's going to be impaled. So he builds up this crescendo. It's rather interesting. I have to thank Elder Roger Scott for getting me to use the Bible, that Ryrie Bible. It had little notes in there. I noticed that he said that he takes Judas aside, and he says all the while Yahshua is telling the disciples about what's going to happen, he's trying to get Judas to repent. He's trying to get Judas to not continue with the plan that he has. Because he says in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 20, I think it is, it says, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He deliberately chose Judas. Deliberately. Because he knew what Judas's heart was like. He knew what Judas would do. Well, anyway, you'll notice here that he does say that at the Passover, the Son of Man is betrayed to be impaled. Now, as we move on down to the 21st verse, there we read, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Now, of course, what we're reading here in the book of Matthew, and you find it in the book of Luke and Mark also, Yahshua was partaking of the Old Testament Passover. That is the one with the lamb. And so on. He is not... He fulfilled all the things he was supposed to do until the last minute of his life on this earth. And he did keep the Old Testament Passover. And now while he's talking there, we notice that he mentions here about Judas directly in verse 23. Notice it reads, "And he answered and said, He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." So now he's already laid out the plan. What is going to happen? First of all, he'll be betrayed. Next, he'll be impaled. And now he says, the one who is dipping his hand with me in the dish is the one who's going to betray me. See, the disciples kept wondering, who is this he's talking about? Is it you? Is it me? Who is it? And they didn't know. But it's when when Judas says in verse 25, Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And Yahshua said to him, You said it. You are the one. And you will find in reading of this event that this is where Judas leaves. As soon as Yahshua gives him the sop, he leaves. He doesn't stay around anymore. And we'll go through that and review these things. But he identifies his betrayer as the one who dips in the dish. And also, I think Dr. Bullinger's Bible says that when a guest is given something by the one who's holding the dinner, that is a special recognition that is given to that individual. So when Yahshua gave the sop to Judas, special recognition to Judas that Yahshua knew what he was up to. Well, let's go back here to the 13th chapter of John. So now we have the plan that Yahshua laid out, and he starts from the very beginning, and he says, I'm going to be separated from my people. I won't be with you anymore. And all the while he keeps building on and adding to the event that's going to take place, which we are celebrating now this evening. We find here that, again, in this 13th chapter of John, notice in verse 25, it says, He then, lying on Yahshua's breast, said unto him, Rabbi, who is it? Yahshua answered, It is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So at this point, the disciples had just finished the Old Testament Passover. And Judas is still with them. But when he gives the sop to Judas, we find there in verse 27 of this 13th chapter that this is where Judas leaves. Notice, we're in John 13:27. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Yahshua unto him, That which you're going to do, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for sure what intent he spoke this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Yahshua had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of for the feast, that is, for the feast of unleavened bread, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. So this tells us when Judas left. As soon as he got the sop, he thought, Yahshua knows what I'm going to do. I've been bargaining up here with the chief priest for 30 pieces of silver. Now Yahshua knows what I'm going to do. And an embarrassment maybe, and he thought he better get out of there. And so he did, immediately. And it says it was night. So the sun had already set. And notice here, the other evangelists also talk about about Yahshua giving Judas the sop. Matthew 26, we already read, but notice if you want to turn to Mark chapter 14. And he answered, we're in Mark 14 and verse 20. And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12. They were asking, Who is it? Who did it? Who's going to do this? And he said, It is one of the 12 that dips with me in the dish. And we move on down to this 26th chapter of Matthew. I want to go through that again. It says, The Son of Man, we're in Matthew 26:24. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And Yahshua said unto him, You said it. You are the one. So we find that Matthew's account really builds on the fact that it was Judas who's going to do the betraying. Now, as we move on to the book of Luke. Luke, by the way, his story flow is not the rest as Matthew and Mark's. And it kind of backs up. What he does, he goes through the entire Passover service from the Old Testament right on down through the New. Then he backs up and starts over telling a little bit about Judas and so on. So it's a little bit confusing. But anyway, in Luke 22 and verse 21 is where we want to start now. Yahshua says, "But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table." So Yahshua, you want to make sure that this is the Old Testament Passover he's talking about now. The New Testament Passover has not yet started. And then Luke 22, verse 22 reads, "And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto him by whom, or by that man by whom he is betrayed." So here we have the point I'm trying to make here, of course, is, does Judas qualify to partake of the coming Passover supper? Is he qualified to be given the cup and the bread from Yahshua with a heart like he has? Well, let's turn to Mark chapter 14 and verse 21. There we find the Son of Man, we read, indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good for that man if he'd never been born. So Yahshua actually is saying he would be better off if he weren't born rather than what's going to happen to him. And you find that what he's doing now, he soon leaves and he goes out and finds the chief priests and he says to them basically, "I know where the Messiah is. Follow me and I'll go to him." And this is what he's working with, this idea he has. In the book of John again, chapter 13, we read there, Yahshua says, "He it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." And when Yahshua gave him the sop, you'll notice again in John 13:30, that's when Judas leaves the group and goes out to talk to the people, the chief priests, and wants his money. Well, each of the statements, it points to a betrayal. Now we have to look at, what about the character of Judas? Does he qualify to be one of the disciples? From what we've read so far, I would think that none of us would expect he would be qualified. And you find here in the book of Matthew again, chapter 26, notice there in verse 15, it says, "And Yahshua said unto," Judas said unto him, unto these chief priests, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. So Judas is still working on this. And I know this has been repetitious going over these things again, but we want to get the picture first of all. And then we can understand what actually happened. Yahshua has chosen these 12 disciples. He deliberately chose Judas because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that someone had to betray him. And Judas fulfilled that prophecy. In fact, I mentioned before in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 70, that Yahshua said, "Have I not chosen each of you 12, and one of you is the devil?" We have here a little bit of a study on the character of Judas. What was he really like? Was he a likable kind of a guy? Was he money hungry, looking for any time he could pick up some spare change? Let's turn to John, the 12th chapter. John chapter 12. And we read there, and then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Yahshua and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, "Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." So Judas is right there thinking of the fast buck he can make, and he says, "Hey, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, because not that he cared for the poor, but he wanted the money. He was a thief, and he had the bag, and he wanted to put the money in the bag. Then said Joshua, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." Actually, here we have the character revealed of Judah. And he was certainly not one that was looking out for the welfare of Joshua. And apparently some of the other disciples might have chimed in and said, "That's right, Judas, you got it right. We don't have to pour ointment on somebody's feet." But it doesn't single anyone out except Judas. Now, the rest of the disciples actually referred to Joshua as sovereign. They referred to him as the Kurios, that is, in our King James. But you'll find that in the 26th chapter of Matthew, I want to point something out here, in verse 22, rather interesting, when Joshua is there and the question is raised, "Who is it?" You find that the other disciples refer to him as the sovereign, as Kurios. But Judas says, "Master." He doesn't call him sovereign anymore. He calls him master, rabbi. Anyway, it is after Judas leaves, you see, that Joshua can now go ahead and start the real Passover service that he was there to do. And that's what he did. Turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. What we're going to look at now is the type of ministry that Paul is talking about here. And you'll notice here in the 1 Corinthians 11, he lists there the qualifications for those who should be qualified to partake of the supper of the of Yahshua's blood and bread. Something interesting I noticed when I was looking at some of these things, I noticed that each time when Yahshua presented the emblems to his disciples, it says he blessed the bread. But I couldn't find anywhere where it says he blessed the cup or the blood. But he blessed the bread. I thought that was interesting. But he gave thanks for both, for the bread and the cup, the fruit of the vine. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 27, Paul writes, "So that whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of Yahshua unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Yahshua. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks condemnation to himself, not discerning the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and many sleep." So here Paul says we should make sure that we're in the right frame of mind, that we're in the right attitude, that we have no harbor no ill will toward anyone, and that we are a forgiving people. I wonder about Judas. Could he qualify? Was he a caring, loving one? Or was he still trying to make a buck, if he could, by reselling the spikenard? So here we have in the life of Judas, who actually was, well, I want to finish this up, actually was one of Yahshua's chosen people, and yet he was the one that had betrayed Yahshua and actually was the one that brought him to die on the tree. The interesting part is, and I noticed another thing in that in the Ryrie Bible in the note, it said that all the while that Yahshua was trying to get Judas changed, to change his attitude and his mind. And he even says when he goes out to hang himself, being a novice at it, he probably didn't tie the rope tight enough or loose enough, or the knot was something wrong with it, and that's why he fell. I want to read that here in Matthew 27 and verse 3. It says, "Then he who had betrayed him, had betrayed Yahshua, Seeing that he was condemned sorrowing, Judas returned the 30 pieces of silver again to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, betraying innocent blood. I want you to notice something. He says, I have sinned. We would probably say, Judas kicked himself. It doesn't say he turned to Yahweh in prayer and said, or Yahshua, why have I done this? Forgive me. You don't find that anywhere. He just said, I have sinned. I betrayed innocent blood. Ryrie said that he was trying to get get Yahshua to chase the Romans out of Jerusalem and around the Judea and give the government and so on back to the Jews. And that's why he was trying to do this. And then he found out that after a while that wasn't going to happen, that Yahshua was going to actually die. That made him so frightened and scared. That is why he brought the money and threw it back at the chiefs and elders, the 30 pieces of silver. But notice here in this 27th chapter of Matthew, he says, I have sinned, betraying innocent blood. And the chief elders and so on, priests said, what is that to us? You see to that. That's your problem. And he threw the pieces of silver down in the temple and departed. And he went out and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood, because this 30 pieces of silver were paid for a life. And, of course, he's talking about Yahshua. And they took counsel, and they bought the potter's field with them to bury strangers in. So they bought a field where the strangers would die and be buried. And that's what happened to the 30 pieces of silver. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 18. Indeed, then, this one purchased a field with the reward of unrighteousness. And falling headlong, he burst apart in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. So again, we find that Judas hanged himself. He died. Ryrie said that he probably didn't tie the knot tight enough, that he was a novice, and that came loose after a while, and he fell down. His bowels gushed out, and that's what happened to him. Well, I hope, brethren, that this short understanding that I've tried to give you here, kind of jumping back and forth, but had to tie all the evangels together, tie it all together so that we know that they all say the same thing. Some say more at certain parts than others, and I think that Matthew probably says more than some of them, but John also says more than most of them in the sense that he actually tells of the fact that there were two Passovers kept there when Yahshua died that year. Two Old Testament Passovers. You find that in the 18th chapter of John and verse 28, that the Jews had not yet kept the Passover when Yahshua was all done with the old Passover as well as the new Passover that we're going to keep again this evening. So we're looking forward to it. Until then, may Yahweh be with you.